KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, it's cloudy and 44 degrees. We look forward to be mostly cloudy today with a high near 60. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN State and Area News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Elkhorn, see Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated or call 712-764-6000. In state news, the planting season continues to move rapidly ahead following a year where farmers had to sit and wait for things to dry out. The weekly crop report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows 91% of the corn planting is done, up from 78% last week. The report says 71% of the soybeans were in the ground, and that's an increase from 46% the week before. Iowa State University Extension field agronomist Paul Castle says it's been decades since farmers have had the conditions to be able to work at this pace.
It was a record soybean planting in Iowa. I think North Central Crop Supporting District was like 66% like a week ago, which is way ahead of schedule. So, yeah, just kind of a neat deal to have that kind of a situation after the last couple springs.
The only downside has been a cold snap that spread across the state last week. Castle says he's not received any reports of frost damage, but the cold is slowing the growth of the one-third of the corn crop that has already emerged from the ground.
Kind of losing out here on leveraging our early planting. We like to plant early to kind of extend the growing season and increase the amount of time during the summer months when we can fill the kernels and pods. That's probably the overall bigger concern.
The corn planting progress is now almost 1 month ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Less than 5% of the crop remains to be planted in the northwest and north central parts of the state. The soybean planting is also 1 full month ahead of last year and more than 2 weeks ahead of the average. Northwest and north central Iowa also lead the way in soybean planting, with less than 20% remaining to be planted in those areas. Iowans will learn later this morning if more businesses in their area may open this weekend. Some of the closures Governor Reynolds ordered are set to expire this Friday, May the 15th.
I've been really impressed with not only what our business community has done, our church community has done, as well as just Iowans in general. And so we can continue, I think, to lessen the restrictions and open up our state and start to begin in a very thoughtful, safe, and purposeful way to start to continue to reopen or begin to continue to reopen in our economy.
Restaurants in 77 counties were allowed to reopen dining areas at limited capacity back on May the 1st, but bars statewide have had to stay closed. Hair and nail salons, as well as barbershops, have remained under the governor's closure order as well.
Iowans have been incredibly responsible. We're seeing that as they're continuing to practice social distancing. I think they're wearing face coverings often when they're not able to practice the social distancing. We are seeing businesses be very thoughtful and cautious about how they start to reopen.
Retail shops that sell clothes, shoes, furniture, and flowers were allowed to reopen this past weekend. Malls and fitness centers could reopen too, but all at limited capacity to allow for customers and patrons to maintain proper distancing. The latest report from the state indicates 271 Iowans have died of COVID-19 and more than 12,000 have tested positive for the virus. A total of 32 long-term care facilities have outbreaks of the coronavirus among their residents. The Audubon County Public Health Department on Monday announced the first death associated with COVID-19 in the county. The individual was an elderly adult, a person 80 or older. Robert Nelson, Audubon County Public Health Director, said, "We wish to extend our sympathy to this individual's family. Audubon County Public Health and all of our key partners throughout the county and state," he says, "continue to work to limit the spread and impact of this virus in our communities." The fifth case of coronavirus or COVID-19 has also been confirmed in Montgomery County. The new case is in a person under the age of 17 who contracted the virus through close contact with a positive case. In Montgomery County to date, officials say there have been 5 confirmed cases, one of which has recovered. A total of 149 people have been tested there. And officials say there's still a great need for residents to stay at home as much as possible, away from groups of people, and maintain a 6-foot distance from other individuals, as there is substantial spread of COVID-19 throughout Iowa. Pottawatomie County Public Health officials on Monday reported 1 new COVID-19 case. That was in an elderly adult, someone over the age of 80, who resides in Council Bluffs. The total number of COVID-19 cases in Pott County is now 85, but the IDPH COVID-19 dashboard shows there are 86 cases. And officials say a Texas resident tested positive in Pottawatomie County but lives in Texas and has since returned to that state. PCPH is currently working with the IDPH to correct the discrepancy. Currently, officials say 40 persons who have tested positive for COVID-19 in Pott County are self-isolating. 1 is hospitalized, 41 have recovered, 1 moved out of state, and 2 have died. Officials of the Cass County Fair Board on Monday said at this time the Cass County Fair will not be making any changes to the events planned for July 22nd through the 28th. As our fair dates approach, they said we'll be making needed adjustments to honor the safety of our exhibitors and guests, and we'll be looking at each individual event closely to consider the needs of our youth, volunteers, and community supporters. We plan to be flexible as requirements from the state and other governing bodies will certainly change as the summer progresses. In their statement, the Fair Board said they are monitoring the situation carefully and working closely with extension staff and their FFA partners to provide the best possible experiences for youth and community members. And they say that we recognize our youth have been working on their exhibits for months and want to ensure that they are able to showcase their hard work this year. We also recognize the Cass County Fair as a community celebration enjoyed by residents of all ages. Now, the Cass County Fair book is posted at extension.iastate.edu/Cass with the current schedule and contest and event rules. Any updates will be posted at that website as well. And the Fair Board says, as we all adapt to the uncertainty caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, the Cass County Fair Board recognizes that these are unprecedented times and wants to thank our supporters for their patience and their concern as we work hard to make the best decisions possible for the 2020 Cass County Fair. In our funeral announcements, Betty Irene Hansen, age 86, of Guthrie Center, died Monday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Graveside services for Betty Hansen will be this Thursday at 11:30 at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Doris Grieve, age 90, of Elkhorn, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. A visitation for Doris Grieve will be held on Thursday from 5 until 7 at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. Her family will not attend the visitation. Private family services will be held at a later date. Bob Hazard, age 71, of Atlantic, died Friday at his home. Graveside services for Bob Hazard will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Evergreen Cemetery in Oneida with 6-foot social distancing observed. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Susan Pinkerton, age 78, of Griswold and formerly of Omaha, died Monday at her home. A celebration of life memorial service for Susan Pinkerton will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has the arrangements. Ty Scheffler, age 81, of Harlan, died Thursday. A celebration of life for Ty Scheffler will be at a later date. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Jeremy Trischel, age 39, of Menlo, died Friday in Adair County. Services for Jeremy Trischel are pending with the Pearson Family Funeral Service in Corning. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Oneida, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.